My name's John Nash. I've been around a while in R. My first involvement was in Brian Ripley's office in 1995. He said, John, can we use your codes? I forgot that he said, I said yes, and found that Optim had three of my routines in it 10 years later. Don't use Optim's routines anymore. Anyway, with me are Spencer Graves, Julia Silge, and Ludovic van Nurenberger. This is not a traditional session. We haven't made ourselves speakers. We are here to try to address the problem that you may have experienced, that there are more than 10,000 packages in CRAN, and when I proposed it, I said, navigating the R package jungle, and was told this was pejorative. But I do think that the idea of a rainforest being rich in resources but difficult to get through is about where we're at with R packages. Now, some responses we have kind of tried to categorize, and we're going to call them unification. I started off calling it wrappers, and that's the thing I've tried to do. Task views, or more generally, guidance, and Julia will talk a bit about that, of what we've done, but we're only going to just touch on it, and then we're going to try and get you involved. And finally, search, which Spencer and Ludovic will mention. And as we say, more. So we're going to try and keep it to about 30 minutes, and then try and break out and see if we can't get some energy started to try to merge some of these tools, to try to make them cooperate, to try to get them renewed. Let's continue. My own work is probably best seen in this optimization, actually function minimization area, where there have been a number of tools with a lot of different syntaxes, and it is quite plainly awkward. I have tried with Ravi Varadhan and introduced OptimX in 2009. Then we tried to sort of improve it and address features people asked for, and we couldn't. So I did another package. Anyway, I've done a number of things in this, particularly the most recent is called OptimR, or a slightly more rich package, OptimRX, which is on RForge. The only reason being that I don't want to have to fix it when some of the subcomponents break that are not mine. Anyway, this unification into a single wrapper is one way to sort of reduce 20 packages or so down to one. There are some other things going on. Hans Werner Borchers and myself a little bit, I sort of suggested it, and he really ran with it. It's still only an RForge package called Gloptim for global or stochastic optimization, which is a really horrible field for syntax, in, if you ever look at it. Ben Bolker has done BBMLE. Jonathan Love, who's sitting there, couldn't see him for the light, he's going to talk, in fact, Thursday. Yeah, and I think that's mentioned later in one slide. And there are probably lots of other examples. Several people have told me some today. I won't mention them now. But clearly one cannot, with 10,000 packages, have all the good examples. So here is a slide from Jonathan, just to give you a taste, just to sort of whet the appetite, if you like, in 11:36. There are some other opportunities. One is in principal components, where there's a huge number of packages, and Claudia Belaitis and I have a kind of vignette started. We really would welcome some people to collaborate with us on that. There's more in nonlinear modeling. I've done some work with Duncan Murdoch. NLSR is quite an interesting package. If you have a look at it, I can tell you more about it. But I do need to hear from other people, and I do need people to say, I think I could unify this. And I've been told that Max Kuhn has some interesting stuff on machine learning, and I'm sure there's some other things. I think it's over to Julia in the next one. Oh, I guess I can say opportunities to highlight or conceal packages. Oh, yes, I should talk about this. We could relist the packages in CRAN and then fade out some of them that are not terribly useful. We could do list by task or application, list by popularity of call. Paul Gilbert has suggested at the Statistical Society of Canada talk, 2 pi QA, which is a kind of semi-moderated, well, I better be careful calling it crowdsourcing, it's not quite. But he could, I can provide his slides to people if people are interested. That might be an interesting way to approach looking for packages, not quite search, not sort of unification, not quite guidance. Let's continue now with, there's the where to now, and we'll do that more when we get to the, well, I should mention the GitHub repository and the wiki, which we'll put up again at the end, and then we'll turn over to Julia.
Great. Thank you all so much for coming. You probably are all here because you, like us, are motivated by the incredible growth in the number of packages that are on CRAN. This is a plot that I made by scraping from CRAN to find the first date that packages were first available. Soon after it crossed the 10,000 mark, and you probably have heard while you've been here that we're actually approaching the 11,000 mark. And let's just take a look at the shape of that curve and think about it for a minute. And think about what the shape of that curve means about the number of packages that are available now compared to a year ago, 2 years ago. Think about in your own journey what R was like when you started compared to what the ecosystem of R packages is like today. And think about what it's going to be like for someone who is starting to learn R today versus starting to learn R a year from now. Even if you're an experienced R user, you probably have had an experience like this, where you have sat down to start some new task and have been faced with the with an overwhelming task of trying to decide, is this a package that I want to use, that I want to invest time in learning how to understand and use? Is this a package that other people are using? Is it not being used for no good reason? Or how do I move forward with making a choice about using a package? I think we're in a situation here that's a good news, bad news situation. The richness of the R package ecosystem is a strength. The fact that CRAN exists as a centralized repository where we can all type install.package and it works, and I have something, I have a binary file now on my computer that works, is like a miracle, right? Like what the CRAN core and R core people have done is amazing, and it's a strength here. This is also getting to be a challenge. It's a challenge for R package developers. It's a challenge for new R users, but I think it's starting to be a challenge for R users in general. How are we going to operate in this new in the way things are right now? And can we start to make choices now as a community to work on these things? So. It can be difficult to find what we're looking for, and assessing quality can be a challenge. I'm excited to see some new work that is being done in this area. For example, there's a package out there called that has come out of our OpenSize Unconference this year called the Package Metrics package, and it allows you to look for packages, and it reports things that we can measure about a package. And if there are certain things that are important to you as a user, you can see what those are. For example, it can see is this package depended on by other packages, or does it have reverse dependencies? Is it being actively developed on GitHub? Are people actively working on it? Are there issues that are being closed, or are there issues, you know, are the issues just languishing and no one is actually helping people who need help with things that are going on? So there are a lot of different ways you might be interested in assessing whether a package is right for you, and package metrics is one way to start working on that. What this means for package developers, I think, is that the good news is most R users are open to trying something new. We have in the way that R community works, we have decided as a community that there is okay to have many ways to do one task. So people are open to trying new ways of doing things, but it can be difficult to find your audience. So we want to talk about ways that things might be able to fix that. We have found by talking to people and by having people raise their hands and whatnot that people are not even aware that something called CRAN task views is out there. So I just want to briefly look at that so that you can see it. So CRAN task views look like this. So they are a collection of packages that that are put together and moderated and taken care of by one person, and that are a collection of packages that are centered on one given task. So for example, this is the natural language processing task view. It looks like this, and it provides a list of packages that can be used to work on a certain task. And CRAN task views can be a great way to find established packages that are that people have used and know about. A challenge with CRAN task views is that sometimes they can become out of date. It's possible for CRAN task views, because they depend on one person. They depend on one person maintaining them. They vary in how helpful they are or how up to date they are. Sometimes package developers or users put together task views on their own. They're not official ones that are on CRAN's website. So you can keep your eyes out if someone has put together one that look almost exactly like the regular task views, but are not official task views. So official CRAN task views. So for example, there's one for archaeology that an archaeologist has put together, or one for open data that is done by our OpenSci. So these are other ways that you can use to find packages that can be useful to you. So so there are people in our midst who are task view maintainers. So making and keeping a task view up to date can be a challenge. And it might be worth asking, like, can we as a community be supportive of more task view maintenance moving to GitHub? So there are a couple of ways that can be done. So Thomas Leeper has one way that he keeps his web services CRAN task view. He keeps the information in a markdown file and then uses make files to get to the XML. That is what a CRAN task view makes up. Dirk runs the finance CTV, and he keeps his information in XML and then uses a pretty simple R script to get to markdown so that he can display it on GitHub and people can see these things and contribute to them. So there are options out there for the maintainers of CRAN task views to get input from the community, to be able to receive pull requests and all that. So as we have a discussion and can be supportive of the people who are CRAN task view maintainers, these are options that are out there for moving these in the direction of staying up to date and being community supported. So in support of this session, I set up a survey. So this survey asked, how do people find our packages now? So this is a survey here it's actually, if you can see the website at the top, it's still open. If you did not vote in the survey yet and you would like to vote right now, you can get out your phone and you can do it. So there's the URL is up at the top. So this survey asks people, how do you currently discover and learn about our packages? And this survey was distributed on the our help mailing list, our packages, and our package devel, I think. We also shared it on Twitter. We shared it with local user groups that we had access to. And we wanted to learn from people, how right now do you learn about packages and decide to use new ones? And the top answers that people gave were that they learn about new packages via social media, like blogs, from like our bloggers, from Twitter, from GitHub by watching people star other important packages on GitHub. People learn about packages from general search, like they're going to Google and they're searching to find packages. And people are learning about packages from their personal network. They're going to people who they know and trust, and they are saying, hey, I used package X and it solved my problem and it worked and I trust that person, so I say, aha, it is worth my time to invest becoming familiar with how this package works and to move forward. So these were the top three most chosen answers in how people currently find and discover our packages. And I'll be honest, like those are my answers for how I commonly work and how I hear about new things. I asked people to respond, either on my blog or on Twitter. And some other answers that I heard were Stack Overflow answers, which I should have put on this list because they're the ones who pay my salary, so I definitely should have put it on the survey. Things like the Crantastic RSS feed, Cranberries, which is run by Dirk and is an amazing resource, our documentation and our packages.io, which are some another examples of our specific type search site. So these are some other resources that are out there. All right, so I want to talk about another resource briefly, and that's called CranSearcher. So CranSearcher is an RStudio add-in. So if you are an RStudio user, it's one of the add-ins that you can go up to the, it's something that after you install it, you would go up to the add-in menu, and it would be one of the things that's available there for you to pick. So the benefit of this is it's not something that you go to the web and you break up your workflow and you get distracted by Twitter and Facebook and you stop working. It's just right there in RStudio. And it allows you to search things that are up to date. Unlike task views as they currently exist, it's searching things that are up to date right now on CRAN. And it searches title, description, and I think the whole description file, I think is what it is able to search, the title and the description. So it's able to get some rich, detailed information about what's up there. So this is something that's on CRAN. Yeah, so it searches the name, the title, and the description field. It'll let you install things with the click of a button and link on to websites to learn more. So this is another example of a resource that is out there. So this is developed by Augustine and Becca, who are developers of this tool. So as I wrap up my section talking about how do people decide how to use R packages, if you're an R user, I would say to you, CRAN task views are out there, if you don't know about them already. They are one among several resources that we have for finding and learning about R packages. And I encourage you to be engaged with the global R community so that you you know about what's going on and what kind of developments are happening and know and be connected so that you can be know about new packages that are happening. If you're a package developer, what I would say is like a takeaway from this discussion is that CRAN task view maintainers are often open and helpful if you feel like your package could benefit or like belongs in some task view. Sometimes they're open to discussion and to communication. Keep in mind how people learn about our packages, like what we've learned from an unscientific online survey. Like, what do we know about how people tend to have workflows for learning about surveys? And also, I encourage package developers, also, let's be engaged with the worldwide R community. Because as package developers, when we're connected and we're engaged with each other and our users, then that is where we're able to stay connected and understand and communicate how our packages can intersect and be better because of that strength that we have there. So now Spencer is going to talk a little bit more about some search issues.
Right. Okay, so let's...
You're running it.
So I got into this like in 2006 or so. I was decided I needed to learn something about splines. And so I used the R site search function in R. And then I sorted the stuff by package, okay, because that identified a bunch of help pages, and I wanted the results by package, and 3 months later, I had the answer, all right? And the following year, I did, I got Sundar Dorai Rise to help me write what became the SOS package that automated that, and from my perspective, It's the fastest literature search available for anything statistical. But I also noted that it was the least popular thing on Julia's list, Julia's survey. So evidently, other people don't find it as useful. And I know Ludovic is going to talk to us a little bit about our documentation system. Is that right? And it has lists both packages and help pages in that. Okay. And but my simple method, because I didn't want to code all that HTML, I'm not that fluent in HTML, I had a write find fun to XLS function that creates an Excel file that has a sheet for packages and a second sheet for the actual help pages. So to run this, you do library SOS, find fun your search term, and it gives you, go ahead, Julia. So here's the find fun results, and it gives you the function. Is there the pointer? The function here, all right, and it tells you the description and so forth. And we go to the next, and the newest version that I just put on CRAN just a few days ago also gives you the package summary as a web page rather than having you write it to an Excel file. Can you go back? In any case, you'll notice that down below the next slide. There we go, package summary, yes. Okay, so you'll notice at the bottom of the screen there are three blank lines. Well, you need to install all the packages to get all that extra information. That's why those fields are blank, all right? And so forth. But in any case, so let's go ahead now with our documentation.
Thank you. Hi. So I'm here to present you an awesome tool called Air Documentation. So for those who don't know it, first of all, shape of you. just kidding. It's an online search tool and search and discovery tool to navigate all packages on CRAN, Bioconductor, and GitHub. So why did we build this in the first place? The first problem that we try to tackle is, like Julia mentioned, there is a growing number of packages. If we take all packages on CRAN, Bioconductor, and GitHub, there is no more than 30,000 packages. And if you want to find what you need in there, it's very difficult. So that's the first problem that we try to solve with that. And then second problem is that a lot of documentation is written by experts for experts. So we try to build our documentation is welcoming and with a very user-friendly interface to welcome our beginners. And also we enable the community to enhance the existing documentation by providing example of their own. Because we feel that by example, it's a very easy way to understand what a function does. And then two other things that we try to bridge the gap here. There was no central documentation repository. There was isolated initiative, but no central repository that reassembled CRAN, Bioconductor, and GitHub. And last thing is that we also allow to search through the older version of a package, which can be very handy if you have yourself older version installed. So to give you a bit of context of all the machinery behind it, I will go very briefly. There is some workers that will every hour search on CRAN, GitHub, and Bioconductor for new packages, and it will send them to a parser that will parse that to HTML. And then that will go into the documentation app itself that will put that into a database. And from then, our Elasticsearch server will index everything. and then we can serve that to the user and use the Elasticsearch to search through all the documentation. So what component there is in Air documentation? I split it in three parts. So the first most important feature is the search. We want people to spend time reading the documentation and not searching for it, so it has to be fast, precise, and relevant, of course. You want the most relevant result on top. There is a screenshot there of the quick search, so you can search for packages, function, but also collaborators. And you can also search in the content itself of a documentation, so on the different section that contains a package. Second of all, the content, so it has to be up to date, easy to browse, so the interface is very user friendly. It has to be exhaustive, and that's why you also provide older version of packages. And third of all, we try to be community driven, so we allow community members to announce an existing pages by posting high quality interactive examples. So they post example in Markdown. It can also be interactive, so it means the user can actually run the example in his browser and see the result directly. And we also have Air packages that allows you to embed Air documentation inside Air Studio. So you don't exit your workflow. You stay in Air Studio and you have directly Air documentation embedded in there. So what are the plans for what are we planning next? There is some feature we are working on. So first of all is browse source code. It can be very handy to have the source code next to the documentation. If the documentation is not clear, you can check the source code and see for yourself how it's implemented. Then AirDocs Lite, it's a little widget that can be embedded into your blog post or your website, and that will allow every link to AirDocs to be overread by your mouse, and there will be a widget appearing that will display a minimal version of the documentation. And third, that we want to increase community engagement. Some contributors are posting examples, but we want more of that. So we'll have the opportunity to discuss after the breakout session what you would want to see into our documentation in the next steps. And I want to briefly mention that it's completely open source, so if you want to help, contribute, you can post new issues, new ideas on the GitHub repo that is linked on it.
Thanks, Ludovic. Thank you.
Okay, it's back to me now. I'm going to say a very specific thank you to Heather Turner for helping us get this going, and Tobias Verbeek for doing the local setup and putting things on the website. But I have a specific, and besides the rest of the user 2017 organizers, I'd like to thank my other sort of presenters here, because we kind of mixed this up and often helped each other a lot. And now we're going to suggest, as you see, there's an awful lot of ideas, many of them overlap. It's sort of time to try to find a group of people in each sort of general area and try to see if we can't move to some more unified, more common solutions that will make it easier. Because even in this area of the challenge, we are having a problem with multiple solutions, packages. The suggestion is as follows, that people interested in the unification type issue of trying to bring packages together and make them simpler to access the multiple capacities with a single syntax and a much easier way to use the infrastructure, stay here with me. Search will go upstairs, but not right in a couple of seconds, with Spencer to room 302 and probably Ludovic too. Yeah. And those people can leave right now. They've asked us not to send you all up at once because there's only a few elevators and stairs. So the search, people interested in search, please go upstairs to 302. And after they've had a chance to get out the room, we will let Julia lead people interested in what we call guidance. And as you saw, guidance and search kind of have a bit of overlap, but that's the nature of the beast. I think we could say guidance is more than just telling you it exists, telling you it won't do for more than 1 gigabyte of data or something like that. I know I had a brand new R user talk to me yesterday, and he said, I'm thinking of switching to Python because I used a package in R and worked with it for a while, and then I found out it wouldn't do my next bigger data set. And that can be very annoying, and we don't really want that. I cannot hardly see here. Maybe the lights can go down just a little bit. They just turned a little green over there. Ah. lower lights, just a little bit lower. I can't see any of the audience. Are lights controlled from somewhere back there? Yeah, maybe I'll stand outside because I can't see anything. okay, those interested in guidance, do you think we've given them enough time to get upstairs?
Yeah.
Okay, Julia's taking her machine. Don't tell me you're all interested in working on wrappers for optimization packages or something like that. And the rest interested in unification could probably move forward because we probably don't need all the microphone in that. I suspect there's only about a dozen or so people interested in wrappers for packages. I'd be surprised otherwise.